AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It It's the fight in. It's the fight in. Clock. It's the fight in. It's the fight in. Clock.
Come on, Chutney.
It is season. I'm doing my own fucking intro there, Ricky. What did you actually say, Ricky?
I said I've got no idea who that is.
Good. Doesn't matter. I'm doing my intro. Can I do it again? Is that right with you?
Do the intro again.
It is season 11, episode 68 of the Fighting Cock podcast. How you doing, boys? Because it is fucking hot.
It is fucking well hot.
Rick, how do you feel John's dealing with the heat, given the fact that he has, if he's wearing clothes, he has two sets of clothes on?
Badly. I don't know what I'd do. I don't think I know anyone with that amount of body hair.
He keeps posting pictures of himself topless, or probably naked, although we would never know.
You'd like that. If I was just posting you going, oh yeah, I've got my top off, but actually, secretly, I was naked. I think that makes it more exciting, if anything.
No, I mean, yeah, definitely. But I just, how do you cope in this heat with so much hair and so much, you know, needing to sort of conform to the social norms, which would mean putting clothes on, pants, socks, trousers, shorts, whatever it might be.
So I thought about this because our friend Alex from Bristol put in the chat after I sent another topless shot today, how can you not shave that chest in this heat? And I thought about it, and I thought, well, I don't think I actually get that hot in the summer. Like, I'm actually not that hot. It's just nice to have your top off when it's hot. I don't think I get any hotter than anyone else.
Man's not hot.
And I thought about it, and I thought, well, I'm pretty sure there's something to it. Like, in when you're cold, your body hair is there to obviously like keep you warm, but in the summer it like does something. So I googled it. And there's an article all about body hair from the well-known journalistic powerhouse that is Cosmopolitan magazine. There's a number of facts here about body hair. So for those well-endowed with body hair, as I am, some interesting facts for you. First of all, your body hair has muscles. So despite my blubbery appearance, I'm actually fucking hench. Because
that doesn't make any sense, what you just said.
Your body hair has muscle cells. It's what makes them stand on end. So I am actually really quite hench because my entire body is just covered in muscles. The other fact that stood out to me, Flav, is that body hair is actually tied to intelligence. So according to a 1996 study, the more body hair you have, the more intelligent you are. Researchers found that the majority of male Mensa members had more body hair compared to the average population. So just another little fact for you.
There are no sources to these facts. You could literally be reading anything.
Reading Cosmopolitan, mate, if that's not good enough for you, I don't know what is. And then the last one, which is about body heat, says body hair regulates your temperature, so it can retain heat when we're cold, and it wicks away sweat when we're hot.
Wicks
before you consider removing your hair. Yeah. There you go.
Why are you so defensive? I'm fine with you having body hair. I have no issue with it.
What I'm saying, it's not defensive. It's a pride thing. I think there's probably other people out there who are feeling like, oh God, I'm really hairy. Maybe I should shave it off. Don't do it. Like you're already an advanced species because you're more intelligent, most likely, than the average bloke on the street. When it's hot like today, if you've shaved it off, you've embarrassed yourself. You're gonna be dripping in sweat. Where I'll just be sitting here wicking my life away.
In my experience, there isn't very. There's not many women out there that don't like a big hairy man. You know, there are sort of issues about what is manly and what is, you know, like what, like how do you define what it is to be a man? But we know fundamentally, if you remove all of that sort of mentalness that we find ourselves in modern day society where everything has to be questions and nothing is fucking binary, John, as a 6'3" hairy yeti, there are a lot of women out there that like that. And, you know, Godspeed to him. And he doesn't shy away from it, do you?
No. A lot of men as well, mate. It's an inclusive lifestyle, the hairy.
What's the name in the gay culture? What's it called?
It's just called a bear.
Yeah, a big fucking nice bear. So he's turning up, he's going to do damage and everyone's going to love it.
Yeah. Stick my fingers in the honey pot. Go on, boy.
in terms of what... Yeah, well, in gay culture, what's a honeypot?
You know, I imagine it's. I'm not going to say it. You can use your own imagination. Yeah, punchline there.
Okay, what was also a little bit mental was the friendly, in inverted commas, the pre-season friendly or the pre-season game between Tottenham Hotspur and Seville. And when it started, Rick, did you watch the game?
Yeah, mate, I did.
So when it started, how long into it do you think, well, they're not being very, very friendly here, are they?
No, it was quite tasty. It reminded me of there's a quote in Only Fools and Horses, and it's Grandad, and Grandad's talking about the war, and he says, "Cool, you should have seen the way those Germans were carrying on. Someone could have got hurt." The way they were carrying on, I was like, "Fucking yeah. Shut up, boy! Like, what is it? What the fuck is up with you? This is like a friendly, and it's for Son as well. And then like they're fucking hacking him and like trying to bring him down. Like, what's going on? Have I missed out on something here?"
We'll come on to the Son incident because you know it's not been. It's not easily downplayed because there's we put a tweet out, you know, just after it happened, and it, you know, it blew up, and we had a lot of fans from other clubs just sort of digging out, going, "Yeah, that's the Son. That's the Son that you don't understand. He's not a nice guy. He's a scumbag. He's not. You know, everybody loves Heung-min Son. We don't. We hate him." That's the sort of vibe we've got from everybody outside of the Tottenham fan base. But we'll come on to that. But before that, the idea of a pre-season game was what, John, when you were a kid? What was pre-season for Tottenham? And what is it now?
Yeah, well, pre-season was playing, if you were lucky, was playing against the team near to where you lived, like some not like Stevenage. And you go, "Oh, get to Stevenage, Leighton Orient." It was games like that where it was like players you'd never really heard of. And then maybe like one first team who's coming back from injury. And then, you know, it would slowly build up over the course of the summer, and then there'd be like one decent friendly against a half decent side. That was it, right? It was just like a very basic, like, pre-season, not too dissimilar to like the lower leagues. They were all basically doing the same thing: do a bit of running, play a couple of games, play a few kids here and there, do a nice thing for a local club, and go from there. Now, like, the scale and like size and like the whole event is so different, and we're not talking like a million years ago. I'd say like even in 10 years it's completely transformed the way these tours, like having a tour alone is just completely different, eh?
There were no player numbers, there were no like team sheets. It was just like, it was kind of like you just find a t-shirt, put it on and fucking have a runabout.
Well, Luka Modric played a pre-season friendly at Dagenham and Redbridge. That's where we find ourselves, but now it's completely different, Rick, isn't it? It's become a marketing exercise, but not just that. You're playing against teams that are hoping to compete at the same level as you in the next season. So you get competitive games, and that game against Seville it was no surprise we had two players. I mean, it wasn't a surprise that Sessegnon went off injured, but Ben Davies. Although I got a tweet earlier that saying that it's not Ben Davies, and we've been calling it wrong for the last 7 or 8 years. It's Ben Davis. Davis. D-A-V-I-S. I know it's not spelt like that, but it's supposed to be pronounced like that.
Nah. I've heard a Welshman called Davis. It's always Davies.
Well, these are Welsh people that have contacted us to say that we're saying it wrong. But I would say to those Welsh people, if you are listening, I think we know your language a bit better than you do.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue to call him Ben Davies. But yeah, he got injured, and Sessegnon got injured, and it was all a little bit sort of feisty. But the question is, John, the question is, John, do you want us to be a part of a pre-season warm-up game where it's as contested, because it felt like a Premier League game, generally. It felt like a game where it meant something. Do you want that level of intensity going into the new season? Does that prepare us well, or is the risk of injury that we found out during this game, that there was significant risk of injury because two of our players went off? What's better? What's the correct way to approach these games?
Well, like, I think the sort of getting them getting them prepared and up to speed as quickly as possible so that you hit the ground running for the season is the aim. So it feels a bit early for this type of intensity game, but like most things at the moment, I've got to trust Conte and his team to know what they're doing. And I know that, again, there's a lot of people talking about the intensity of the training and them like running the players into the ground. I think fundamentally, like, they can't do too much running. Like, they're going to get really, really fit. His whole system is about like getting up and down and being physically dominant. If we're going to do something special this year, going to have to like start really, really well. So maybe it's not a bad thing for it to be.
I think Conte would have liked it.
Yeah, I think so. I think that this is exactly what he likes, which is they're struggling and battling physically and mentally and seeing what they're made of when they're pushed up against it. I think he would have enjoyed that. And also, I think he wants to see some of those fringe players or youth players that are in the squad, how they react in those circumstances. So he probably got a lot out of that, to be honest.
Did you, Rick?
Yeah, I mean, like going back to what you were saying about the pre-season friendly, and now it's just more of a marketing ploy, isn't it? Like just raising your brand profile in different countries and playing against big teams that you expect to be playing in the Champions League. And there wasn't back in the day that there wasn't that pressure on them to win those types of games.
You play eight or nine, and then do you remember Rick? Because we'd always talk about this, having the prestige that the pre-season friendly at White Hart Lane. It was like the prestige friendly Roma. Into Milan.
The glamour tie.
The glamour tie. That was it. The glamour friendly. That was what I was looking for. but I don't think that was helpful to our season. As it panned out, it probably wasn't.
No. Didn't we smash up Roma in one pre-season 5-0. Friendly? Yeah. And then we were like, this is it, lads.
2 points
and then,
smoke games.
Yeah. Then I think we ended up getting smashed up ourselves. But, but yeah, it was... it's a weird one as well. And like you were saying, the game had this ebb and flow about it, like it was a Premier League game. When Seville had possession and they were attacking us, you could see us drop it, that our back three dropped into like the back five, how we'd normally defend in the Premier League against City and against Liverpool. And then obviously when we got a foot in the game and transitioning quickly and getting the ball forward, I know that's what we're supposed to be working on because that's the way we played last season, but it did feel like a game that I would hate to have lost. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Normally, pre-season friendly, oh, yeah, you know, we
don't give a shit.
We had like 11 changes at halftime. Who gives a shit? But this time I was like, no, I want to win. And like, I think it was the United and Liverpool friendly. And United pan Liverpool 4-0. Now, in a friendly, whether it's against West Ham, Chelsea, Arsenal, whoever it might be, I don't want to lose 4-0 against anybody. And it's just kind of like, even though in a friendly, maybe like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been that fast. But now it just feels like every game is important, even though it is a pre-season friendly. So it's really weird how things have swung now.
Yeah, it was clear. Well, it's I think it's about the fact that the big teams are playing each other constantly.
Yeah,
and with that becomes an air of competitiveness that probably wasn't there, as you say, 10 years ago. But there was one moment in this game against Seville where there was a big fallout. Son got. A bad challenge on Son. He rode it and then got up, and then there was a bit of a commotion, and Son pushed whoever the other player was away, and the Bash Brothers, as they're being coined, I love that. I absolutely love that. The Bash Brothers of Romero and Richarlison stepped in ahead of Son. Do you think there's any element of Son's going, mate, I've got this. Like, you don't have to protect me. I've got this, John. Or do you think he was happy with the fact that Romero and Richarlison came in and went, you're getting nowhere near our little brother, even though he's, you know, 5 years older than me.
Yes, Son doesn't give a fuck. Son's not scared of anyone. And I don't mean that in, like, going out scrapping on the cobbles every weekend in Dagenham, but he can handle himself. The guy who did, like, national service, he probably could have got out of it. And that's not just like national service in Switzerland. No offense to the Swiss listeners, where learning how to be neutral in a war, like, that's never going to happen.
Using Swiss Army knives.
Yeah, exactly, and eating and throwing Toblerone at the enemy. Like, it's not really going to ever kick off. Whereas if you're South Korean, you never know what's going to happen. Like, there's a demilitarized zone, and all sorts of shit pops off there. So he's a pretty brave bloke, and I don't think he gives a fuck. And now when people are kicking off about him, going, "Oh, this is the real son. He's got a nasty side." Yeah, yeah. Most elite athletes, most like,
it's a man. He's a normal man.
Has a streak. You kick someone, they're going to kick you back. I know the most like placid geezers ever, and when you like on a football pitch, if you like do something to them, they'll just punch you. And on the street, they would never do it. You couldn't say enough bad stuff to them to make them want to punch you. But on a football pitch, you kick them, they're going to punch you. They're going to kick you. They're going to lose their head. And so these type of players that's like at that level, not pushovers, a lot of these guys. And Son is definitely not one of those. He's definitely got a streak in him where he's like, I don't give a fuck.
So there is this big thing. So we had our biggest tweet in the history of since running Jeez. Love the Shirt. We had the biggest tweet. It's like 15,000 likes. I mean, what is it? 15,000? I don't know what that means. What do you mean? It's a lot. I know it's a lot, but I don't know what it means. But so we're in the situation where we've tweeted about Son, and then whenever a tweet goes viral, you know, because fans of other clubs suddenly start quote retweeting it, and it happened about 5k, maybe about 6 hours after it was tweeted, and every single one of them was like, "Son's at fault. Son's the arsehole. Son's not very nice. He's an arsehole. There is an issue with Heung-min Son. Like, they don't like him." So what I think Spurs fans have lived in a bubble about Heung-min Son for a while, and while that bubble is truth, he is a nice geezer. Outside of it, they just look at the damage that he will do to their club, and have, and it seems in unison have grabbed onto this idea that Son isn't actually a nice guy; he's actually an arsehole. And I have no issue with it, but it was just an interesting situation to bear witness to. Ricky, is Son an arsehole?
No, he's not, and I am going to put that down to bots that were retweeting.
No, these were fans.
Agenda. That's what I want to say. There's the red card of Son against Chelsea, where he kicked out, up at, I can't remember who it was, but he got sent off. Gomez, Everton, I think he was crying, and like Gomez's leg was on back to front. There's been a few incidents, and while kind of we see Son as Son, the full Son, his personality, character, real lovely guy. A lot of people, all they see is a flashpoint of either him scoring or those incidences where he's given a bit of the needle and or where he's been sent off. And I think it's Tottenham as well. I think everybody loves to put the boot in on Tottenham in any shape, way or form, whether it's the hating of Harry Kane, even though he's like one of the most prolific goal scorers. Well, he certainly is for Tottenham, but he's going to be for England as well. Whether it's Son, whether it's we haven't got any trophies of late, whatever it might be, that everyone is always trying to dig us out. But I think it's unfair on Son. I don't think he gives a shit.
Yeah, but that's the question: is it does it matter what they think about him? It doesn't matter.
No, it don't. It doesn't matter, and it just makes you sing louder. Really, it just makes your support of him more ardent, more kind of like. I mean, I'd always back any of our players, but Sonny, man, you can't fucking. You can't say anything about Son.
No, my issue with this is that there are Liverpool fans digging out Son, like, about his credibility, and he's, you know, he's a great player, but he's not as nice as you lot think he is, and we're gonna jump on every little moment where he might lash out or put his elbow or like kick up at Rudiger or whatever it might be, or that unfortunate injury of Andre Gomez. But the fact is, the players that they've defended
Like, it's about to say Suarez.
Suarez, they all fucking wore a fucking t-shirt or weird mask. Like, there ain't Spurs fans not doing that shit.
A racist, biting bastard.
Yeah, one of the most detestable footballers in the history of the game. And you're defending him because he plays for your football club and you feel like that would progress your football club. There isn't a Liverpool... They can't... Go on, sorry, John.
Sorry, I was going to say, I can't remember any single football fan in the whole country having a problem with Sigurdsson. Get him now. Nonce.
Sorry, what?
That's true.
No one had a problem with him. He was the nicest part on the pitch. Don't mean that he's not doing all sorts of shit in his in private life. Just because players do mad shit on the pitch, it's got nothing to do with them being like a nice guy or a bad guy. There's loads of people who are horrible bastards on the pitch, do loads of nice stuff for charities. There's people like Sigurdsson just out noncing in that.
Yeah, I know there is. What should we do with Sigurdsson?
We do with him? We'll try him in the courts, I imagine. Go down the legal route.
Sorry, I thought you said sign him.
No. I mean, no.
No, not at all. Just on the pre-season games, and we touched about it just before, you know, the start of the podcast. United fans are celebrating a 4-0 win against Liverpool in the pre-season. Arsenal fans, more to the point, are celebrating. I don't know if you saw the footage of the troops and I can't remember his name, but the other guy. And they're sort of talking about Everton beating Everton on a pre-season tie as something seismic, as they're all jumping around, they're happy, I'm sure they're buzzing off each other's vibes and stuff and all that sort of stuff. But I'm perplexed by the way Arsenal fans are behaving at the moment. Like, this was the same fan base that wanted to destroy the manager that gave them everything, and now they're celebrating a win in the pre-season, you know, some sort of bullshit cup that we got ridiculed for celebrating winning, like the Peace Cup or the, you know, the Hyundai Cup or whatever it might be, the Audi Cup. We got done and rightly drawn and quartered for celebrating the fact that we'd won this competition. They'd won a game in it against beating a team that should have got relegated last season, Everton, and suddenly they're going to... What are they going to do? What are they going to do? It's just embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, for the first time, I've tried my hardest to stay. Although, I did send a little a tweet yesterday about it, but I've just tried to keep out of it because, like, the Spurs fans and Arsenal fans are as bad as each other, but it's like the threads of them, you know, why X player is better than that player, and you tried to sign this player, but he came to us, and like all these, it's just like little kids squabbling. When in my mind, I'm just like, just wait until the season starts, because we are going to wallop them up and down everywhere, and I'm just that confident that we will. But all this kind of, like, you know, it's 10 days ago where we were seeing Arsenal's best 11 and Martinez and Rafinha were in the team. It's like, well, where are they now? It's like all these...
It wasn't just Martinez. It was Jed Spence. It was Rafinha. There was... Help me out, boys. There were other players.
Yeah, exactly.
That Arsenal wanted to sign. Not only that, their fan base had mocked up fucking the player in their shirt.
Just dickheads, man. Just dickheads. They're like little wasps. They just want to be...
Martinez, the player who's just been signed for Man United. They were banging on about it, like, oh, what a great signing. What a great window we've had. And you've not signed any... Apart from Gabriel Jesus, who, if we wanted him, we could have signed him. And their own fan base have been talking about... You know, look at Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV and the other plebs that they have on that show. They were talking about they'd all want Richarlison if they had a choice. Before Richarlison had signed for Spurs, it was like, who do we choose? Oh, I think I'd like Richarlison. We sign him. But now Gabriel Jesus is the guy. He's going to score you 20, 25 goals, 30 goals a season. He's going to do what came. Gabriel Jesus would never in a million lifetimes, if you had the front line that we have, would ever get in it.
Never.
I'm already, to be honest, I'm already like perturbed. I was perturbed at the end of the season after we finished fourth and the season, like the last game of the season was over. The amount of Arsenal shirts on the street. I was gobsmacked. I was like, just one weekend, have you no shame? Like, have you genuinely got no shame to the point where you think that you're not going to get fucking mocked for that? I couldn't believe it. All over the summer, there's just gooners everywhere, like wearing their shirts with pride, like it's the second coming of Arsene Wenger, and they're gonna dominate the world. All I can think of is it's like, because I haven't seen it for a while, it's been weird. There's been like this dip, and it's like this resurgence of like pride for their team. And I do think it's like the last like thing to like cling on to of like, right, we've been shit for ages. We've got this like quote unquote brilliant young team with some very questionable talent in that list of young players. And now we've got a team we can be proud of. This team you can be proud of fucking bottled it and finished below us. And we're apparently so shit, but you are consistently finishing below us. So I am hoping that this is like the proper pride before a big fall. And I think this season you're going to have a big fucking wake-up call. Because they did okay last year. Let's be honest, there were a lot of performances that weren't great. A lot of teams are going to figure them out this year. And I actually think they're going to be in a bit of trouble. Not like relegated, but I think they're not going to finish where they finished this year. I think they'll finish lower than that. So, yeah. Fuck them.
Jed Spence joins Sonham. What do you make of it, Rick?
Well, first of all, I am that guy that's like, well, if I haven't seen him in a Tottenham shirt, if he hasn't got the scarf outside the ground, he hasn't signed.
But he literally has been in the Tottenham shirt. It just hasn't been announced.
Yeah, well, it's like leaked photos. Are they photoshopped? Are they mocked up? Is someone trying to get us?
Okay, imagine that he has been signed.
All right. no, it's a great signing, really. I mean, we've obviously wanted someone to play on the right, to play that right wing back position, and when Doherty first came in under Conte, he wasn't cutting the mustard at all. Royale, he's been very hit and miss as a right wing back. Him when he's attacking, trying to get into attacking positions, he's either not getting in the right positions, or when he gets in those positions, his crossing just hasn't delivered at all. So, but when he has played and he's played at like a traditional fullback position, he's been great. But that's not the style of football that we want. And Doherty, when he did find that rhythm and he had that momentum and he scored a couple, assisted a few, and he was kind of learning the way that Conte wants him to play, he got injured, which is really unfortunate. And also, I think is he like 30 now, maybe 29, 30?
Yeah.
So we do need a kind of a young player that is going to push both of those. And Spence, with his performances in the Championship last season, I know it's really hard to kind of say something when you're looking at a highlights reel, but he looks like a player that
Kyle Walker.
What we want, like someone that can take players on, that can beat their man, and also put a ball in too. And now I've seen a lot of comments saying about his ball crossing ability hasn't been great, but that's stuff you can work on. And I think there are things where, especially someone like Conte, what he did with the wing back of like Moses and Perisic, that if you have certain raw like skill set and talent, that he knows he'll be able to work with that player and get the best out of them. But sometimes, that if they don't have that skill set and then he's still trying to mold them, it's just like you just think, oh, fuck this. This would be more easier. So I think with Spence, it's a great idea. He's very raw still, but I think that Conte will certainly get the best out of him.
There's parts of his game that are so, like he is raw, but that he has the sort of, he has the elements to his attacking ability where he can have a massive influence on what we're doing going forward. When he gets the ball, he loves to run. He loves to get the ball and carry it and attack defenders. I think the difference that he has compared to Doherty what's his name?
Royale,
where they are, they've been trained as defenders, and sometimes the attacking part of their game is celebrated because they're not expected to do it. But with Spence, the attacking part of his game is intrinsic to everything good he does. So he can defend, he can make that last ditch tackle, but his ability to carry is what will separate him, I think, from the rest of our right wing backs. And we say rest, we've got three of them. And four, if you add in Lucas Moura, which has caused some sort of upset. But I don't have any issue with the fact that Lucas Moura, if he is staying, can play in a right wing back or can play in forward front three. It's just options, isn't it?
Yeah, I think as well, Conte was saying about Moura and him dropping into that right wing back position and saying he did exactly the same with and worked with Perisic. So he was saying that he could do it with Moura. Moura is pushing on. He's 30. But it's kind of like, I think with Moura, he and the position he plays, he wasn't getting the goals or assists or he just wasn't doing what Conte wanted him to do as part of that front three. And with Kulusevski, and especially when you see him come on, how good he is. It's just that reminder. And now we've got Richarlison there. Those are the types of players that we want to play there. The players that can score regularly and assist and just be really kind of can use the ball in tight situations and 1-2s. And I just don't think Moura is that guy. And I think Conte recognises that, but it's not to say, oh, he's not good enough for me, I'm going to throw him on the scrap heap. He's been loyal towards him because every single time he wants to call on him, Moura's there, he's ready. Whether he's part of the starting 11 or whether he comes up on the subs bench, he always gives 100%, always running down people, listens to instructions. So it is kind of like decent that he still wants to keep him around and still sees him useful and trying to transition him to a right wing back. But like you just said, Flav, that we've got quite a few players in those positions, so it's going to be interesting to see if one of them gets sold during this window.
John, what do you make of Jed Spence signing?
Yeah, I think just on this whole like wing backs like conversation, I think this again goes back to like just trusting Conte and like his system and his track record. Like we used to call Poch the fullback whisperer, right? Well, Conte is definitely the wing back whisperer. He has done it repeatedly with players, old players, young players, converting wingers into fullbacks. Like he knows what he's doing, and I think we need to kind of let him experiment. I think basically he didn't try it last season because we're in the middle of a season and he didn't want to try and like change too much in terms of players' natural positions. Now he's in a pre-season, and I agree with Rick. Like he obviously likes Lucas. Every manager we've had likes Lucas because of his work rate and his attitude is first class. And you need players like that. Like players who aren't in the first 11, they are great around the squad. They're adaptable. They can play in loads of different positions. And like fundamentally, he's not awful, right? He's never bad. He's just sometimes he's just not good enough. And so I think like players like that get overshadowed and overlooked and kind of thought of as like, oh God, we need to upgrade them. But there are a lot of talented players. We've seen it with Ndombele, who are much better than players like Lucas, but they will fuck your squad up. They will upset the apple cart. And so I'm all for this experiment, like to try and see if it will work, because it would be great if you really could make him a bit more of a, like if you got a bit more output from him, basically. But I actually really like the signing of Spence because I think it's just, it's a look to the future. I think he's like very highly rated, very talented like player. I think like Cess on the other side is also of a good age and is like a good kind of ceiling in terms of their talent. And then in front of them are more seasoned senior professionals in Doherty and Perisic. I think it's quite a nice balance. And then obviously like the Lucas and Royale as like potential options for backups basically to the backups. I think probably one of those two gets sold, if I'm honest. Like, probably not Lucas, so probably Royale will get sold, and he probably like has a decent value. It'd just be interesting to see. But if they all stayed, I wouldn't be like jumping up and down. I don't think it's like desperate that we have to get rid of it, especially as there's going to be more substitutions next year. I think the bigger squads are going to benefit from that because they'll be able to rotate in game. And so even if you rotated both your fullbacks every game, you still have another three substitutions to make. So it's quite, I think it's quite interesting to see how that's going to play out.
Yeah, indeed. Conte was warned, apparently, if you believe some of the tabloid press, that Conte was warned by the fellow, by his fellow coach, that he could be pushing his stars too hard in pre-season, which could result in injuries in the coming season. So you guys know, if you've read the running order, who I'm talking about. So apparently Conte has been warned by a fellow coach and has said, what you're doing is too much. That fellow coach, according to this news outlet, was Leighton Orient's Richie Wellens. And that's national news.
Yeah, I did see that. And I didn't know if there was, if you'd got the running order wrong, or there was just, there was supposed to be a bit of information ahead of Richie Wellens or whatever his name is. No, it's just him saying it. Like, cheers, mate.
But when you read the headline, you, as a Spurs fan, you're reading it going, like, because we know that the idea that we've seen our players like collapsing after, what is it, 40 lap runs or whatever it might be.
I didn't see that. Kane was sick on the pitch after his run.
I didn't see that. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, is it true? Or are you just saying it?
No. It is true. During the runs they were doing, Kane collapsed on the floor and was sick. Sonny collapsed on the floor and he had to be picked up. And then obviously there was just...
Matt Doherty looked like he was...
body, you know, strewn all over the pitch.
When you fall, you can't control your limbs and you fall on your own arms. That's when you know it's too much. We know what Conte does. We know how good he is. We know what he's done previously. You know what the level of commitment that he expects from his players. And this is just, it just feels like nothing for him. It feels like this is what there were images of him on the touchline just looking and going, okay, I'm watching who is coping with this mental thing that I'm given, like expecting them to do, and who isn't. Pape Sarr, he's one of the ones that found it very easy, apparently, just bouncing along like it's nothing. What did you make of him, John?
To be honest, I kind of forgot we had him until this like preseason kicked off. I kind of forgot that he was coming back. To be honest, I didn't pay too. I haven't like seen the games in full, so I've only seen highlights. But he looks neat and tidy, nice passing range. It'd be interesting to see whether he features at all this season. Like, will he get another loan? I don't know. Again, like, it's the same thing. Is it going to be a different? Do we have to sort of change our mind a little bit and like shift our sort of mindset as fans about squads? Because if you can make more subs, you need more options and you need more types of options. We've got, I'd say, like pretty similar types of players in Skip, Højbjerg, Tekor and Bissouma. I know they have their different, like obviously they're not exactly the same, but ostensibly they're kind of similar players. I don't know if we need someone slightly different. I don't know enough about him to know even if he's that type of player. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what the actual end result of our squad actually looks like with more outgoings and players going out on loan. Because I think that will determine what it really looks like, basically.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's move on to... got a couple of questions before we end. Lee Bishop, he says, love how we finished last season and how we have strengthened the squad early and in the right places. We have one of the best managers in the game and a great squad, plus Kane and Son. So why do I still feel like it's all going to about to go to shit? Has this crossed your mind, boys? Because it has mine. The regardless of all the great things that have happened, signing Bissouma, Perisic, you know, Jed Spencer, young up and coming, like Kyle Walker-esque right wing back that's something still not going to, like, something will fuck up for us. Is that a mental thing to suggest? Are we no. being too sensitive?
No. We're Spurs fans and have been for the past fucking 30 years and lived and breathed every heart-aching moment of it. But I don't feel any negativity. I don't feel that it's going to blow up.
Are you confident,
face.
Ricky?
Yeah, mate, I am well confident. Very confident. And the thing is as well, like, there is part of me that's like, shit, man, we've signed like six players now, isn't it? It is six. Yeah. So we've signed six players. That's quite a lot, isn't it? But then there's something saying to me that they're not all starting 11. It's for squad, and it's replacing better people in the squad. So, and five substitutes again this season, like you've all mentioned. And the World Cup, players are going to be starting earlier, not much more of a rest. So you're going to need a bigger squad. But there is that part of me that where John was saying that we want to hit the ground running, is that have we signed too many players? Because there will be more signings. There will be more signings. And it's how does it all fit in? How do they all understand what Conte wants in terms of their position or the team's formation, and what is our philosophy going to be? And just the environment, wherever they're coming from, if it's a different country or different part of England and settling in and stuff. So, yeah, that stuff all does ruminate around in my mind. But we've got fucking great players, great manager. The coach is great. We've got this new free kick specialist as well. I'm just like rubbing my hands together. I want the season to start now. I want it to, like, I am...
The thing is,
like, saying that, is it all going to blow up in our face? We're Tottenham fans. It probably is, but it just means this time it's going to happen in a cup final. Like, we'll get further along. It's not going to be we'll go out in the fifth round or fourth round of the cup. We'll get through to the final. Can we, then fuck it up. But
John,
least,
can we win
know,
something this
there.
Year? Can we win something this year?
Yeah, we can. Like, we definitely can.
Will we? How confident?
I am actually quite confident we're going to win something. I think that we're going to push the league really close, my guess. I think we might win the FA Cup this year and push the league really close. But I also think this is probably the best chance we might get to win the league, which sounds berserk, but just hear me out. I feel like Liverpool losing Mane and just where they are in the cycle, Klopp, we might see a bit of a funny season from them. City of like looking to turn over their squad. Now, I know they're bringing in quality players like Haaland, but sometimes like bringing in a really good player and like they've lost Sterling and they've they're changing a few members of their squad. It's like that can unsettle a team. Like that you can kind of between they're going to play a different way, I think, basically going forward, because they've got a big centre forward now, so they're probably not going to play with like a false nine. So they're going to change the way they play. Is that going to disrupt them? Is it going to disrupt them enough to lose enough points that a team like Spurs can consistently get enough points to win the league? Only time will tell, my friend. But I do feel like this could be a season. Chelsea as well, a little bit like disarray. Few kind of on the surface pretty good signings, but again they're in. As a club, they're in kind of a state of like turmoil. Maybe this is a chance. I think there's a on paper right now. You could look at that and go, there's a reasonable chance for someone else to upset the apple cart and give it a go. Why not us? Like all the reasons that Ricky's listed. Like we do have one of the best managers. He has got a system that is proven to win. He always does well in the league. Signed experienced players, young promising players. We have the best striker. We have the best second striker in Son, if you want to call him that. We've got quality defenders in Romero. We've got a solid keep. Like, we've got the backbone. We've got all the things you need. And for once, we've had a summer where we're all saying, sign a few key players in these positions early, and we've done it. Like, if we don't kick on now, it's like, I don't really know what else the club could have done to facilitate us doing something special. So, yeah, fuck it. We're going to win the league.
Love it. We've got a final question from T. Fenners. He says, change your opinion on the away scuba kit now you've seen it in action. No. Worst thing I've ever seen. It's terrible. What is a shame is the fact that this could be the greatest season that Spurs have had in decades. We have to play in that absolute terrible kit. Ricky, that is, it's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. Absolutely. I can't, like, I know we say what this all doing? The time, like, what, how can you get a kit wrong? But
who
I guess
in the club is saying, yeah, that's fine? Or they just not care? And if you say they don't care, is it there are thousands, tens of thousands of kids walking around with Spurs emblem on that fucking monstrosity. Like the home kit from last season was terrible. The season before last season. You know what I mean. That was terrible. But this away kit is garbage. Garbage. Someone in the club has signed that off. Instead of pushing back on Nike and gone, this is not good enough for us. This is embarrassing. This is shit. Why hasn't anyone at the club gone, this is a terrible kit. This is awful, an awful, awful kit. It doesn't matter that much, but it's just absolute fucking dog shit. It's cat shit. Worse than dog shit is cat shit. That's what that
fox shit. That's really bad. Really potent.
Terrible.
The worst thing about it for me is that it's not disgusting enough. It's like...
Yeah, go mental. If you're going to do it, go mental.
You know, like people wear like a Versace shirt and it's just fucking garish and out there and it's just fucking mental. And you're like, it's so disgusting that at least it's making a statement. This is the equivalent of like Brentano shoes. Like
Lonsdale. Lonsdale shoes.
Oxford. Yeah, Lonsdale.
Matchsticks.
I mean, it's just Lee Cooper jeans. Like, it's just—it's just so mediocre.
That's exactly
that
what it is. Yeah,
someone's just gone, fuck it, right? Just pick three colors, put them in three different places on the shirt, and hit send. That's—it's just mediocre. That's what's offensive about it. Last year, that fucking kit where it looked like it was like a Jackson Pollock with all the fucking bits thrown.
Loved
it. Clicked on it. Because that was wicked. Because it was fucking mental.
They did something mental. This isn't that. It's just block. It's like
easy
paint. It's like a kid in fucking the early 90s of MS Paint could have made that. It's literally colour fill.
That's all he's done.
It was pathetic. Shit. Anybody involved, whoever it is at Spurs who was involved in signing that off, needs to be fucking sacked. Shit.
I reckon what happened is they got sent from the designers, like really like cool designs. And the guy who was responsible for like getting it signed off just accidentally deleted the file, and he had basically 30 seconds to send it and was like, fuck, and just mocked one up on MS Paint and just sent it over. And they went, a bit weird, but sure, let's go for it.
And do you know what's fucked up about this is that Barcelona have the same kit. They've got the same kit. Every Nike team has the same kit. And I get it. There's some sort of fucking economical idea about like why we have to fucking share kits or share designs and stuff. Don't want it. Like that.
It never used to be like that, did it?
Just give it to the fans. Give it to the fans at the end of the season. Just let us design it. Just stop. Like Nike can manufacture it and they can sell it and they can get all the profits. But give it to us for one season. Just go, what do you want? And we'll give it to you. Like what you did last season was perfect. They did like the white shirts and you know navy blue bottoms, white. Yeah, and I get it. Like you need to change it every season to make it sort of financially viable. And you did enough this season. Like a lot of people love the home kit this year with the you know the round collar. And I get it. I don't like it as much as last season. I think last season's kit nailed it. But I can understand why there needs to be some change and. For, you know, Tottenham Hotspur fans are enjoying this kit, but that the away kit and the fucking third kit is like, put it all in the bin and start again because you haven't done good enough. Have they done good enough, Ricky?
The away kit is disgusting. The third kit is a bit jazzy, a bit more jazzy, a bit out there. But like, I am quite a traditionalist, really. I like us to be.
You like 20 minute missionary in and out, little brown bum going up and down.
No, all the moves for that.
How many moves? All of them. You ain't got the moves.
No, I ain't got. No. I'd like to do all the moves. But
what, if you had to, in your wildest dreams, if you had a move that you could do, what would it be?
Oh, I don't know.
Wheelbarrow.
just seems awkward, really.
It is a lot, isn't it? It's just carrying the legs, and you've got legs and the body and that, and then you're not big enough.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Ricky get like, you know, there's that one where the woman's on top and the legs are up and she like sits on it and she's looks like she's fucking you. That one. So I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I think I know the one you mean. Yeah.
I don't know. Can you explain it, please?
I'll try and explain it. So the man's laying down and he puts his legs akimbo but pushes his like piece forward. Then the woman sort of like straddles standing up and then sits on his dick. So when you're looking at it from behind, it looks like she's fucking the bloke with a cock. But it's his cock, just she's on the other end of it. It phases me every time I see it. And it's a sort of porn that T loves because it's Amazon women do it because obviously they're taller. I've seen it a few times. I quite like it. It's quite dominant. It's quite sexy. I could imagine Rick taking a good old pounding. Good, lovely to see.
Yeah,
I'll be up for that.
I can imagine Rick with his ankles behind his ears.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well up for that.
All right, boys. Should we go and have our dinner, shall we?
I just want an ice cream. I'm going to have a lovely Calippo.
I'm going back. I'm going to go into my bedroom and get flexing, get those ankles behind my head. Rolling around like a crab.
Babes, get in here and sit on me. I'm ready.
Okay. Ricky, John, I love you both.
Love you.
We'll love see you. Soon. Bye.
Up the Spurs.
Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.